welcome you to worship. If you've never been with us before, we would invite you to fill out a guest card in front of you and place that in the offering plate as we collect our offering this morning. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom." Would you pray with me? Lord, we've gathered to worship in the name of Jesus because there is something about that name. And Lord, we come to bow with the kings and kingdoms and worship you. We come to you in all kind of ways today, with all kind of thoughts and emotions, stresses and strains, victories and defeats, and here we are, looking at your table prepared for us, broken body, shed blood, eternal life, salvation, Resurrection Sunday again, the Sunday after Easter, and still, you love us. Receive our worship. Receive our best offerings as we give ourselves to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us continue to worship as we sing hymn number 263. Break thou the bread of life. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you in freedom today. Bless this congregation and bless those who have needs for having procedures or surgery or you know what their needs are. We ask that you bless the tithes and offerings and the giver, and that these offerings would be used to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Small group this morning, but that's okay. And I'll tell you about that during our little sermon we're going to have. Okay, this morning I want you to think about preschool, hey, or even Sunday school. And I want you to think about your very favorite. I think I know what you're going to say. You another question. What is the first thing you get there? What is this book? This is an attendance book. That's what she usually does first thing in the morning. She calls the roll. She calls out names. Johnny. Susie. Was missed.
It was the Sunday after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. His disciples were gathered together in a locked room. They were afraid. That's why they had the door locked, because they were afraid of the enemies that they might do. The enemies might do to them what they did to Jesus, so they were afraid. But you know what? Jesus came in the door anyway.
Saw him, they were so happy to see him.
John 20:19-29.
Let's see. And you're going to hear Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples have seen Jesus. Unless I see the nail marks and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. And a week later, his disciples were in the house again. But this time, Thomas was with them. The door was locked. Jesus came among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." He believed, didn't he? Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." One of the great Jesus name was when he said, "Two or three gather in my name, I am with them." And that's why I said, even if you have a small group, Jesus is with them. Each week we gather at church, we come to worship in the name of Jesus, and we come to praise him. So what do we miss out on if we aren't here? We miss seeing Jesus. Just like Thomas missed out on a chance to be with Jesus, we miss out on a chance to be with Jesus. Okay? Let's have a prayer about that. Father, we have come into his house and we gather in your name. Today, because we want to be with you, that's why we gather. We come to worship and we pray that we can be here to be with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I hope we'll be here next Sunday and have a big crowd. Thank you.
Thank you for our children, and thank you, Martha. Let me invite you to open your bulletin and look at our prayer concerns. And it's good to see Luann sitting back there with us. And I know she's got some tests this week. We want to continue to remember her in our prayers. Gail Bridges will be going for a biopsy this Tuesday. We want to be remembering her in our prayers. Anthony Harrington will be going this Tuesday for gamma knife surgery, and we are praying that will be a successful experience for him as he goes. And you'll see the Bill Townsend family. That is Linda Wilson's brother-in-law who passed away tragically this past week. We want to be keeping that family in our prayers in a very, very special way. We also have added Bill Cotton over to our ongoing list. We want to keep him lifted up. Everybody on the inside of the pew, you should see a little white card. Do you see one? Inside, here, this way, right beside you, Peyton. Little white card on this pew. There's one in front of you. Okay. Everybody see that? All right, good. I need you to do me a favor. And doing it now at prayer time is the appropriate place. If you're planning to be here with us on this coming Friday and Saturday for our connecting stories, even if you've already signed up, would you sign that card and just pass it down? It'll help us get a number. We're trying to provide breakfast that morning. And also, if you need child care, if you need someone that from nursery all the way up that you could be a part of, if you would put maybe just child or see by it so I would know that we need to do that. And if we have that need, we have a way to provide that as well. And it is so appropriate in our prayer time to look at that. You'll notice in your bulletin there are four things we ask you to do. To turn in your Flat Spring story today, if you haven't, to attend. I can't tell you, and Martha, what a wonderful job with that story to talk about how important it is for you to let your voice be heard in the future of Flat Springs Baptist Church as we are planning to see what God will say to us at this moment in history about our future. And then we are Baptist, by the way, so bring food, okay? We need everybody to bring some finger food that we can share during a couple of break times, one Friday evening and then also one Saturday mid-morning. And then I hope you'll be much in prayer about that, that God will use this as an opportunity to help us move into His glorious future. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that You are the great physician and the comforter. We are grateful that as we face the battles of life, whether they be physical or financial, whether they be broken jobs, broken dreams, or broken homes, You are our God, and to You we can turn. And so now, Lord, as we gather here on this beautiful Sunday that You have blessed us with, and we have gathered together to worship, we pray, O God, that You might use us as instruments of Your grace and mercy for these on this prayer list and those You will place on our heart this week. And Lord, I do lift this Friday and Saturday to You as we gather as Your people to seek Your will and Your way for our future, to connect the stories of our past, our current story, and our future story, that we might be faithful servants of Yours until You come again and receive all of Your church unto Yourself. God be with us as we continue to worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you would, once those cards have been filled out, just put them back in where you got them from, and I'll collect them after our service is over today. Thank you.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hymn number 206. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you.
And I realized as I was singing, I didn't give any cards up there to y'all in the balcony, did I? So you never let the pastor do that kind of work because he'll always mess that up. And I apologize. I've got some extra cards. Maybe if you'll just let me know as you come down, especially the child care portion of that would be very helpful as well. You'll need to follow your bulletin. You'll notice the choir has not sung, but they will. And their message will tie into communion as we share it, and it will make sense to you when we do it that way. Let me invite you right now to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. A most familiar passage of Scripture, one that no doubt you have heard more likely than not at a funeral experience. Speaking of Jesus preparing the way. But our focus will be on the sixth verse today, mindful of that reality that Christ has paid a tremendous price that there might be a way to the Father. John chapter 14. We're going to read the first six verses. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, the last of the seven I am statements in Gospel John, I am the way and the truth and the life. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for just a moment? Would you give your spirit first place in our heart and life right now as we invite you in? And Lord, help us to be a good host. And not have the TV of our memory running right now or the radio of our future plans, but to entertain you for these next few moments with our undivided attention. And give us ears to hear what you might say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision this morning is page 183, I Have Found a Friend, Oh Such a Friend. That will be our hymn of decision at the conclusion of this message this morning. We're beginning a new series today. We spoke for the first quarter about decisions. For the next quarter, we'll be spending time looking at life-changing declarations from the Scripture. And on this, the Sunday after Easter, certainly there is no greater life-changing declaration than when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning in our business meeting, we read a scripture from Proverbs, which says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways there are leads to death. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now, sometimes an article in your English grammar is very significant, and it is very significant here. Jesus did not say he was a way, or a truth, or a life, inferring that there might be more than one. Instead, he uses the singular in the Greek. I am the way, the truth, and the life. the way. We have in this moment of Jesus, on the very eve of his own death, the historical man Jesus, that man that will sweat, that man that will bleed, that man that will feel the pain of the nails and the thorns and the whip upon his back. That historical man who had to eat to live, who had to breathe to live, who had to drink to live. It's tying with the Christ. John, in his powerful gospel, didn't want us to be confused. So he begins his gospel with, "In the beginning was the," again that article, "Logos," the Word, this very same way, truth, and life. And he says he was at all, forever, and everything was created through him and by him. He reminds us that although Jesus was 100% man, he was 100% Christ. The incarnation of God in Christ Jesus, that is the life-changing declaration that the church has to offer. And now we're being challenged, aren't we? We're being challenged to say that maybe it's not the way, maybe we're just a way. Maybe the church isn't just the only way. Maybe always lead to God. C.S. Lewis, in a book I would certainly recommend to you, Mere Christianity, says this about other religions. And listen to what he says. Almost everything he says is profound, but this especially so. He says, being a Christian doesn't mean thinking that where Christianity differs from other religion, Christianity is right and they are wrong. As in arithmetic, there's only one right answer to the sum, and all other answers are wrong. But some of the wrong answers may be much nearer being right than others. Did you hear that? There is one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. If you ask me, my largest argument for believing that, it is simply this. If you really believe that Jesus endured the cross, as painful, as horrid, as awful as that was, to simply provide another way, then Jesus, of all men, was most foolish. But there were already many other ways that would get you to where you were going. The idea that some have said is that God is at the mountaintop and there are many paths around the mountain, but they all ultimately get to the top. If that's true, then Jesus should have simply helped us find a way on those other paths and not endured the cross himself. Why did he endure the cross? Because there's one way, the way to the Father. That's through the Son. That's the message that you and I, that's life changing. That is our message. I don't have all the answers to all the questions about all the other situations, but I know the truth that I have been entrusted as a believer in Jesus Christ, and in love and in much mission energy, we are to share the good news that there is the way to the cross and to Christ and to God and to everlasting life. Then he says, the truth. Part of what we're struggling with as church this day is how do we frame the truth? What does the truth look like? As you look out on the different places of worship, you'll see all kind of different ways of packaging the truth. And then if you would bear with me and let me ask a hard question, an uncomfortable question, a question that often is not asked because it's so uncomfortable. if there is but one truth, and the different ways we package it really don't matter, and I believe that's true, then are we communicating the truth? Someone said that instead of being Christians in churches, hearing sermons from preachers, we become Christianettes in churchettes, hearing sermonettes by preacherettes. We have shortened it and cheapened it and reduced it down. Warren Wiersbe once said that the church is always one generation short of extinction. That's a sobering thought. The church is always one generation short of extinction. If our generation fails to guard the truth and entrust it to our children, then it'll end there. When you think of the saints and the martyrs who've suffered and died so that we might have God's truth, it makes you want to take your place in God's army and be faithful unto death. I sometimes wonder what the martyrs think if they look down upon the way I do church. Those who were willing to die for their faith. And we might say, well, you know, it's going to be a little cold out there today. I don't believe I'll go today. Those that were stoned to death for the faith. Well, I think I'd rather go here and do that. Those that gave it all, when they see how much we read the Bible, how much we pray, how much we seek God's face, the truth. Can I give it to us in a very quick summary? The truth is that we've been separated from God by our sin. Everyone's here. Sometimes we ask, and I was reading this, I'd never read this before. Why? Bad things happen to good people? And then someone pointed out, there are no good people. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. Oh, some of us are better than others, but we're all sinners. And the truth is, and sometimes we don't like to hear the truth. I remember hearing a story about a trial taking place in a Missouri town, and they had to call this witness, and they called this one dear little lady who came in very well dressed, elderly, that grandmother type, you know her, well spoken and poised. She was sworn in, and the prosecuting attorney, he looked up at her and he said, "Miss Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I know you, Mr. Williams. And I'm very disappointed in you. You lie and you cheat. You manipulate people. You talk about them badly behind their backs. You think you're a rising big shot when you haven't the sense to realize that you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper-pushing shyster. Yeah, I know you quite well." Well, the lawyer was stunned, as you can imagine. And not knowing what else to do, he kind of got back to his point. And he said, "Well, do you know the district attorney sitting over there?" And she said, the defense attorney sitting over there. She said, "Yes, yes, I know Mr. Bradley. He was a youngster too. He's lazy and bigoted, and he has a bad drinking problem. He can't keep a normal relationship with anyone. He's cheated on his wife." "Yeah, I know him." The defense attorney almost fainted when that came out, when all of a sudden the judge called both the attorneys to the bench. And he said, "If either one of you clowns ask her if she knows me, the truth." What is the truth? What would the truth be spoken if we were to ask Miss Jones about us? What would the truth be if we ask God about us? Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way to the Father. I am that life-changing gift. When I hung on the cross and I pronounced God's forgiveness from the cross, it was for whosoever will. That's the truth. It brings me to the last moment, to life. Earthly life fulfillment comes in knowing Christ. Heavenly life everlasting comes in knowing Christ. Those two concepts are life-changing. Today, if we, unlike Thomas that Martha spoke at, have come today, then the risen Lord is here, and He will speak to us. Not the watered-down Lord that I'm afraid too often we give. A great cynic had been invited to a college campus, and the community had been invited, and he was giving one word after another of how the resurrection was not a historical event. The religious traditions of the church were groundless. It was a bunch of emotional mumbo-jumbo because it was based on a relationship with a risen Christ. And He never rose from the dead, according to all the scholars. And after a long verbal dissertation, he moved back from the lectern, figuring he had convinced everyone in the audience that there was no resurrection. And he said, "Are there any questions?" After a few seconds, an elderly pastor stood to his feet, woolly white hair. He said, "Dr. Professor, I have a question." And everyone turned to wonder what the old preacher would ask this learned man. And to everyone's surprise, he reached down under his seat and he pulled out a crumpled old brown bag, a lunch bag, and he reached into the bag and he pulled out an apple. Crunch. He took his first bite. And you ever try to talk with an apple in your mouth? I'm not going to imitate that. Just imagine that. My question is a simple question. He said, "Now, I've never read those books you've read. And I can't recite scriptures in the original Greek. And I know nothing of Niebuhr and Heidegger." Crunch, crunch, crunch. Until he finished his apple. He says, "All I want to know is this." As he placed the core back in his brown bag. "This apple I just ate. Was it bitter? Or was it sweet?" The professor paused for a moment as all the attention went back in his direction. And he said, "I can't possibly answer that question. For I haven't tasted your apple." The elderly old preacher looked him in the eye and he said, "Neither have you tasted my Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Have you tasted that reality? There are a lot of Jesuses out there in our culture. Watered down, easy to be with. But the one that we celebrated last Sunday on Easter Sunday, that one, that's the sweetest one. That's the real one. That's the one to whom we proclaim our allegiance. That's the one we can trust. Blessed be the name." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You are the way. Maybe there's someone here today who's lost that. You are the truth. Maybe today Your Spirit has convicted some of us that we've been following a different truth. Maybe we haven't want to heard the truth or recognize the truth or admit the truth about our own walk with You. About Your eternal life in our life. And Your lordship of our life. And You, O Heavenly Father, are life. There are many counterfeit Jesuses being taught on the television, the radio, and even from pulpits. But Heavenly Father, may we find the Christ of Scripture. The Christ that we remember long ago when we walked down an aisle and gave our heart and life over to you. And may we taste you again and your sweetness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 183. This morning, in preparation for the Lord's table, if you need to make some decision, private or public, would you do so as we stand together? Would you be seated? After our choir has sung their anthem, we will come to the Lord's table. We participate in open communion here. We invite all baptized believers to join us at our Lord's table as we share. And now we'll hear our choir.
Table of the Lord.
we now come to observe the Lord's Supper, given to us in memory of His broken blood and shed His broken body and shed blood. It's said that on the night before He was betrayed at the feast of the Passover, which He and His disciples were celebrating, He took bread and He blessed it. And He gave it to His disciples. And He said these most powerful, life-changing words. This is My body, which is given for you. Would you pray with me? Lord, may those words echo in our core as we hold this small piece of an unleavened wafer in our hands. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And it said, on that same night, our Lord took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, and he made the second life-changing declaration when he said, "This is my blood, and I shed it for you." Would you pray with me? Lord, as we hold in our hands the cup representing the very blood of our Lord and Savior, it reminds us of a life connection that is unlike any other connection we could ever have. Our eternal bond to you. Thank you for loving us so much that you became our sacrifice and washed away our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed by the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus our Lord cleanseth us from all our sin. Would you stand with me, and I'll ask the diaconess to kind of move in with me a little bit this way and face the congregation. It said on that night after our Lord had instituted the first Lord's Supper that they sang a hymn. In just a moment, we're going to sing Blessed Be the Tithes, our closing prayer. And they departed to a garden called Gethsemane, where there Jesus would be arrested, carried before the Sanhedrin, then before Pontius Pilate, then before Herod, back to Pontius Pilate, ultimately to be condemned of high treason and sentenced to death. He and two others would be led outside the city walls to a place called the Place of Skulls, Golgotha, Calvary. And there our Lord and Savior would be nailed to the cross, and there He would hang until He died. He would be taken from that cross and placed in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And on the first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday, the women came to prepare a dead body, and they were met by the stone rolled away, the guards lay as dead men, and an angel said, "Why seek the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples He has risen from the dead." And what we have just done in the communion service is to continue to proclaim He has risen from the dead. Would you join hands with the person next to you as we sing our benediction? Said, "Hey, how are you? How are you?" I didn't. I saw some, but I didn't get any. I saw Buck at the mall riding the horse. That was amazing. That's amazing. How are you? Good. How are you? Good. How are you? Good. How are you? Good to see you. How are you, my brother?
Good to see you.
Sure is. Oh, you are so well. She is a sweetie. How are you, my friend? How are we? I like good. I like good. Doing all right? I like it. I like it. Hey, brother, still need that phone number. Text it or send it to me. How are you? How are you, Mason? Is